ourselves in the midst of a message series entitled Relation Slips. And it is talking about the things that impede our relationships. And so I hope that over the course of the last 2 weeks, and we've got this morning and then one more week to follow, I hope that the conversation that we've been having and are in the midst of has been one that has been helpful for trying to find ways to better our relationships. We've talked about conflict. We've talked about ways in which we need to respect one another in the midst of conflict. We talked about how the ways in which we can do that. James helps us with that when he tells us that we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We've talked about the relation slip of thinking that people don't need to be encouraged. In fact, that people can live without encouragement. And so we've talked about ways in which God has called all of us to be encouragers. This morning, I'm going to throw a number of different scripture passages at you. And so if you're a note taker kind of person, I would invite you to just kind of jot some stuff down and you can check it out. I would encourage you to check it out throughout the week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, we read this: "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are already doing." So when we talk about the need to encourage one another, it's an assumption that we're already doing that, is what we hear. And so we do that by, and we mentioned this, looking for the needs around us, looking for the best in people, and looking for those who seem discouraged. This morning, we're going to spend some time talking about love. So I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for bringing us here to this place. We know that you have been present with us, and we pray that you will continue to do that, and we pray that you would help us to also be present with you. And so we pray that even if just for a moment, you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead so that we might hear your voice. Help us to be attentive to the things that you would have for us this morning. And we ask that your Holy Spirit might be our guide and our filter, so that all the other noise and all the other stuff, things that maybe you don't really need us or want us to hear right now in this moment, in this season, that all that stuff would be kind of set off to the side so that we would hear you speaking to us. And so hope open our hearts and our minds to those things. We pray that your word this morning might be fresh and new. And Lord, I ask that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. Well, Valentine's is only 2 days away. Is that right? 2 days? Stay the 12th. All right, good. And so I thought we'd talk about love, but not chocolates and flowers and stuff like that. And I would imagine that as we look at the relationships that we have, one of the ways in which we can better those relationships is by loving one another. Now, I would imagine that each of us at current times and in different ways have had relationship struggles. Now, whether it's our own fault or maybe that of another, that we have found ourselves in times where we've had relationship problems, and perhaps one of the things that we feel like we want to do is sort of withdraw, that the solution is to withdraw, either turn inward, and I want to be alone, I want to be in isolation, because frankly, I can't trust anybody else anyways, so I just want to be by myself. Well, that's, I think, the relation slip that we can fall into, is thinking that we're better off alone. Now, maybe it's because you feel like, I don't really have a whole lot of self-worth. There's not much that I can bring to a particular relationship. Maybe you've been hurt before, and it's causing you to kind of have that instinct to kind of retreat or be alone or be in isolation or think that you can kind of handle it on your own. Or maybe you're just selfish. I mean, maybe there are times, isn't that true, right, where there are times when we're just selfish and we just kind of want our own thing. Want our own way. I don't really want to have to deal with anybody else, because then I have to pay attention to what they want or what they think or their opinion. I'd rather just, it's just me. Now, granted, I'll say this. There are times in our relationships that we have where time apart is a good, healthy thing. Okay? So hear that. If you have relationships where you get into those problems or those arguments where you just kind of go, you know what? You're going to go to your corner. I'm going to go to my corner. And we're going to just kind of spend some time apart for a bit. That's a different thing than just saying, I'm going to disconnect from people or community, and then, you know what, I can take on the world on my own. Now, the news is that the answer that God would give us is not that we withdraw, but rather that we begin to look at what does it look like to be in community. You can look at the creation story through Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 3, and go through the list of things that God creates, and all of them are good. Everything is good. This, God creates this, boom, good. God creates this, boom, good. God creates this, it's good. Until he comes to, he creates Adam, and he said, it is good. And then he says, Adam is alone, and he says, that is not good. Throughout the creation story, good, 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 good. Everything's good. Alone, not good. And so we begin to see that even the language that the Bible uses is language that talks about community, about being in community. Now, it is a known fact that people drive us nuts, right? That people just drive us crazy. And yet, we need them. Jesus tells us to lean on him and to lean on other people, and we need to lean on each other as we explore what it looks like to be in community with one another. You've heard me mention over the last week or 2 weeks ago about all of the passages that include the one another phrase in them. Many of them are even commands. Live in harmony with one another, accept one another, greet one another, encourage one another, serve one another humbly in love, bear with one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Forgive one another. And on and on and on. And these were not, many of these are not just expectations, but rather commands. Taking notes, John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus is talking and he says this, a new command, not an expectation, not a like, here's a goal that you could have. Here is a command. A new command that I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must also love one another. Peter goes on and says it in a similar way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. He says, love one another deeply from the heart. And so this morning when we're talking about relationships and what does it look like to love one another deeply. I mean, can we really love every individual, everyone around us deeply? I mean, how do we follow this? Jesus gives us this command to love one another as I have loved you, so you must also love one another. We can either respond in two ways. We can either write it off and go, Jesus, that doesn't apply to me. And oh, isn't that cute that you would suggest that, Jesus? You just don't know what it's like to live in my world. Or we can look a little bit deeper at that command and start to figure out, okay, what does it look like to love one another as Jesus commands us to do? Now, there's a book that I would encourage you to spend some time with if you're interested in this topic of love, and it is called The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. I would encourage you to read anything by C.S. Lewis that you can get your hands on. Just read it. Some of it is work. So you're gonna pick up some books by him, and it's work to read through some stuff. There are other things that God will show up in ways and you're like, whoa, I never thought of this like this or that like that. He wrote a book called The Four Loves. Now, in the Greek language, the word love is translated in a couple of different ways. There's a couple different words used for it, okay? And you've heard me maybe mention this before. In English, we have one word for love. It is love. It's a trick question, right? Okay. Love. In the Greek language, there's a couple of different ones. So in the English language, we would say things like, I love my spouse, I love tacos. And we think, oh, okay. Like, in the Greek, which is much more eloquent, it gives us kind of a different flavors of love. And so in his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis talks about a couple of them that I want to talk about really briefly. The first one is Eros, okay? E-R-O-S. This is the romantic kind of love. C.S. Lewis writes, it is the state we call being in love, or that kind of love that lovers are in. Okay? He goes on to say this, pleasure, pushed to its extreme, shatters us like pain. Eros is more than just a physical kind of love. Okay, so we've got to understand that. He also says that when natural things look most divine, the demonic is just around the corner. if we make Eros sort of the focus of our lives, that we have made it a thing that is actually not helpful or healthy. Eros, romantic. Phileo is the next one, or phileo, P-H-I-L-E-O. Okay, this is a love that is kind of a friendship sort of love. Think of the city Philadelphia, okay? The city of, okay, so that gives you an idea of this other word, Greek word for love, that is kind of friendship. C.S. Lewis writes, and he says, Eros will have naked bodies, phileo will have naked personalities. You can think of relationships that you have with friends where your personalities are very much naked in each other's company, and you're still friends, right? Like that is this kind of, this love, this phileo kind of brotherly friendship sort of love. He goes on, I thought this was kind of a funny quote. People who bore one another should meet seldom. People who interest one another often. Okay, kind of a little picture of this sort of friendship sort of love. But this morning I want to focus on, when we talk about love and loving one another, as we try to avoid the relation slip of thinking that we don't need anybody else, that I'm better off on my own and alone, that when we talk about what it looks like to love one another, we're going to focus on this word agape. And you've probably heard this word before. This is an action kind of word. It's a behavior that we can choose to be self-emptying in this action or behavior of love. What that allows us to do is not be enslaved by feelings or emotions. Agape is a behavior, action, kind of self-emptying love, which is not tied to feeling. So that even when we don't feel very lovey, we can still act lovingly toward others. Lewis talks about it as a divine gift love. He says, love himself, God being love, God, working in an individual who is wholly disinterested and desires what is simply best for the beloved. Right? You can see what he's saying. This idea of self-emptying kind of love means that my interests are not of my own, but rather for that and for whom I love. That is the self-emptying act of this kind of love. He goes on. Divine gift love in the individual enables him or her to love what is not naturally lovable. He has lepers, criminals, enemies, the sulky, the superior, the sneering. Agape, God who is love, as God lives in you and me as we try to follow Jesus, enables his love, which is the self-emptying love, enables us to love those that we might otherwise find unlovable. We hear the command that Jesus gives us to love one another as I have loved you. And be free to know that Jesus does not command you to like everybody. You don't have to like everyone. The command is to love everyone. Right? So that means that I am not a victim of my emotions. You and I are not victims. We are not enslaved by our emotions and our feelings. That means that when I don't feel very loving or very lovey, I can still choose to act lovingly. That means when I don't like someone, I can still love someone. When I do premarital counseling with couples, I tell them, and we talk about this kind of love. And we talk about that, and I say to them, you know, there may be one or two times in your many, many years of marriage to come when you don't feel very lovey, right? And those of us who have been married for a little while are like, yeah, right, one or two times. But they don't know yet. So I'm like, no, in your many, many years of marriage, there may be one or two times when you don't feel very lovey. And yet this love is what allows you, is what enables you to choose love. It is a behavior, an act that we choose of self-emptying, so that even when I don't feel it, I can still act and be loving. I'm not a victim to my emotions. Now, this morning when we look at what does it look like to try to love one another, I want to highlight three different things. The first one is this. Be devoted to a few. be devoted to a few. Act lovingly toward all, but be devoted to a few. Taking notes, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. I mean, is this not, when you look at the life and ministry of Jesus, is this not the model that Jesus lays out for us? Be devoted to a few. Jesus had 12 guys that he kind of lived life with, and you could maybe even argue that there was an even smaller inner circle of three. So whether it's 12 or three or whatever, we get the picture of Jesus saying, be devoted to a few. Love everyone, act lovingly towards all, be devoted to a few. Paul writes that when I mentioned Romans chapter 12. Be devoted to one another in love. Think about this as your home team. Who's on your home team? And I would suggest it has to be more than just your family. So who's on your home team? Who are the few that you are devoted to? And maybe the other part of that question would be, who are the few that you believe are devoted to you? The word devoted is this gives you this sense of being steadfastly attentive. Who is steadfastly paying attention to you? And who are you steadfastly paying attention to? Who's your home team? My hope and my prayer is that if you aren't signed up for one of the life groups, that you might consider, because I think that life groups could be a great place to have the possibility of expanding your home team, right? That few that you are devoted to, and you know that they are also devoted to you. How are we going to love one another? Well, one of the ways in which we're going to do that is be devoted to a few. Look for some ways to expand your home team. Secondly, be truthful with all. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Skip to verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Well, we need to be devoted to a few. We need to be truthful to all. If you are lying, stop lying. Just stop. It's not helpful. It's not healthy. It is not being truthful. So just stop. That's one. Two is looking at for ways in which, how can we speak truth into someone's life where there's something that perhaps is destructive or harmful for him or her and the community. We've got to be willing to be truthful with all. If there's something that we see that is causing harm, has the potential to cause harm in someone's life and in the broader community, then we have to be willing to confront that. But I would suggest that first, we need to pray for the grace to confront it truthfully and lovingly. And if you don't have that grace, then don't do it. Find someone who has that grace, or keep praying for that grace until you have it, so that you might confront in a way that is loving. Right? Check your motives. If we're going to be truthful to all, then it's important that our motives are ones that are guided by love. Love one another. Motive must be love. If it's self-emptying kind of love that we're talking about, then the love that's going to allow me to truthfully speak into someone's life when there is harm, right? When there's an issue of harm that's happening or could happen to an individual or the community, then I have to be willing to kind of check my own motives and see that my motive is love, is in fact love for this individual and love for the community. If you're looking to zing somebody, don't do it. Don't look to be truthful to all so that you can zing somebody. That's not loving one another. Check your motives. Don't look to zing somebody. And be aware of the timing. Timing is everything. So as you're praying for God's grace to speak truthfully to all in loving ways, also pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to show you when, right? God, would you bring about an opportunity for me to lovingly speak truth into this individual's life because I believe that there is harm that is happening or about to happen to him or her and to the community. Be devoted to a few, be truthful with all, and then lastly, be patient, what I'm calling, be patient with each other's quirks. Now, this is different than what I just mentioned, point two, right? Point two is flaws that cause harm. We must, with God's grace and with pure motives of love, speak into those instances truthfully. This is those little annoyances that we all have, right? I mean, there are some things that we just have to let go, right? Oh my gosh, I can't believe he still listens to 90s alternative and grunge music. And I pray that my wife is willing to let that go daily for me, right? Well, she snaps her gum when she chews it. Oh my gosh, this individual does this thing when we're in meetings and, oh. Well, this other individual, you know what? They always clap on the 1 and 3 beat. And now granted, that might be a harm to community, but that's, you know, maybe that's just a, we have to be willing to be patient with, you know, each other's quirks. My neighbor always puts the trash can out a day early. It's different than a flaw that might cause harm. These are these little annoyances, these little quirks that we all have. And so there are times when we have to just be willing to say, I have to bear with one another in love. I have to be patient and say, so what? Let it go. There are things that I do that might annoy some of you to death. There are things that you do that might annoy me to death. Annoyances, we say, as we have patience with one another and we bear with one another in Christ, we say, I'm going to let it go. So what? No harm, no foul. Let it go. If we think about ways in which we can love one another, it is impossible for us to truly love one another and try to micromanage everyone's little quirks. We'd be done. And so we've got to find ways in which we can be patient with each other and with each other's quirks and little annoyances and see ways in which we might love one another as we are in community together. Be devoted to a few. Be truthful with all. And be patient with one another. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for this incredible example of selfless love that you have lived out before us through your Son. And so we pray that you would help us to try to model that. Lord, we pray that you would use us as individuals and as a community that we might love each other so that we might also love those around us. Lord, help us to see the ways in which we can expand our home teams. Give us the grace and the humility to speak truthfully to our brothers and sisters, that our motives are nothing but grace and love, so that we might help each other avoid harm and hurt. Lord, you know that for some of us, it is so easy to retreat into ourselves and into isolation and to kind of cut ourselves off from community. And I pray that you might help us to resist that temptation, even in the midst of hurt or of frustration or annoyances. But that you would help us to be a group of people who are looking to lean on each other and on you. And so through that, give us patience with one another and with ourselves. Lord, that you might help us to model what it means to be in community and to love one another, we pray.